Hey friends, the National Worship Leader Conference is happening in Nashville on May 7th through 9th. You know, there are a lot of conferences out there, but this one is shaping up to be something pretty unique and special. They're doing things like coffee talks each morning where folks can get to know the industry and business professionals they've watched from afar. Some amazing speakers and musicians. It's going to be a fully interactive experience where worship, information, and relationships all connect. I'm going to be there, and you should too, so check them out at worshipleader.com. The Pivot is also brought to you by New College Franklin. New College Franklin is a four-year Christian liberal arts college in Franklin, Tennessee, dedicated to excellent academics and a rich community. They offer a unique opportunity to become part of that learning community that's focused on educating the whole person. For more, go to newcollegefranklin.org. From Nashville, Tennessee, this is The Pivot, stories of people who've made a change. Welcome to The Pivot. My name is Andrew Osinga. My guest today is Amanda Williams. Amanda Bible Williams, that is. She's the co-founder and chief content officer of She Reads Truth. Also, He Reads Truth and Kids Read Truth and basically any other type of person you can imagine who would like to read truth. She's got a great story. I think you're going to find this really encouraging and inspiring, especially for stay-at-home moms, people who know stay-at-home moms, or just anybody who doesn't maybe have grand visions of this world-changing thing. You know, some people, I think, have that. They're born, and they are just going to take on the world and do huge things. And other people, man, we just do the thing in front of us that where we say, I could help. I'd love to help. And those little steps of saying, I can do that. Let me help you here. That ends up changing the world for a lot of people. And that's what happened to Amanda. They're doing amazing things with She Reads Truth, and she's just a wonderful person. And I love this conversation. She and her husband, Dave, are people that we've known for a long time and like never get to see, but we always wish we did. So my wife is, for a lot of this, sitting at the table with us in the conversation. So if you hear an extra person kind of laughing or interjecting, that's her. Because it's just good to spend time with Amanda, and we were glad she came over. Stay tuned after this episode for quick updates about my own music and what's going on with The Pivot. But for now, what you came to listen to, here is my conversation with the wonderful Amanda Bible Williams. Blind Tiger Record Club, the only monthly subscription vinyl club where you choose the genre of music you receive each month. I'm a member, and just yesterday I got my first month's box. Let me tell you, not only did I get the new Robert Plant double album, they threw in an extra record for all their members this month. It was a special pressing of the Charlie Brown Christmas album. It was green. It's so cool. Perfect for this time of year. We got the Netflix fireplace going, and our Vincent Guaraldi on the record player. Just perfect Christmas vibe. Blind Tiger is awesome. And I look forward to getting another box next month, which is going to be U2's new double album. So bring it! Listeners to this podcast get their first month subscription for half off. That's a $25.99 value for only $12.99 with the code THEPIVOT, all caps, one word. Blind Tiger Record Club, your vinyl, your choice. Thank you for being here.
Oh, you're so welcome.
I'm so excited.
So good to see you guys.
You too. Well, okay, so I was just trying to think about, yesterday I was trying to think about like where we met, and I have no idea.
I have no idea. I tried to think of that too.
But that's just sort of life in Nashville.
Yeah.
It's like, we've just kind of, it's like, hey.
Yeah.
How are you? Like, we see each other every now and then for years. And
yeah.
And we need to do that more.
Because yeah.
We like
I remember the first time I... Like, we didn't meet, but I saw you perform. The Normals performed at Christ Community one time. It was probably like 2001.
Crazy.
And so that was the first time that I like was like, oh, that's Andrew Osinga, and these are the Normals, and I like their music. But then I don't know when we actually like intersected again.
Yeah,
so
I have no idea.
But not long after that, I'd say like 10 years ago for sure.
Yeah, I mean, when... It would have been probably when your husband was managing some bands, you know, we were kind of touring.
Same
with,
circles.
Things like that.
It is Nashville.
It is. Okay, so Amanda Bible Williams is your actual name.
It is my real name. It is. I did not give myself that nickname. I have to clarify this all the time.
Yeah. There are no quotes on the Bible.
No.
So that was
no.
your maiden name?
Yeah. It's my dad's name.
That's pretty awesome. So what's it like growing up as a kid when your last name is Bible?
You know, it didn't occur to me that it was weird until much later in life. Like until I was, I guess, in college. And my friends actually called me Bible, a lot of my friends, and in like college and after college. And so, yeah, I don't know. I didn't feel any like undue pressure. It was just, I don't know. It was my dad's name, you know, like it was just, and where he was from, he's from East Tennessee, and my mom too. And it's not that unusual there, which is weird. So I guess it just didn't really occur to me. But it is weird now in retrospect to realize like, oh, that's strange. Like given what I do for a living now, it's pretty bizarre.
It's
it really
kinda
is.
Awesome. It's pretty awesome. I will say there's gotta be some like a really great bad guy in a movie would be like Jack Bible.
Oh yeah.
Or a good guy. Either one.
Uncle named Jack Bible.
Iconic. See? From East Tennessee. It writes itself. That story writes itself.
That's true.
Okay. So I was reading about you on the internet yesterday,
just doing
my research. And I did not realize that you are so educated. You have a couple degrees.
Let's not get carried away. I do.
Cool,
I
just, but you did. You got carried away. I did.
I really love school. I was just kind of a nerd, like really love learning and my ideal job was always like I wanted to be a professional student, but that's not a thing that people pay you to do.
No.
So which is kind of strange because in my work now, that is kind of my job, which is fun.
It's pretty awesome.
I double majored in my undergrad and then went to Vandy to get a master's and got through all of my coursework and decided to take a break. Which is not what you do, guys. Don't do that. So I literally did all of my coursework. I had a language test and a thesis, to take and a thesis to write. And David and I got married. And so I was just like, you know what? Like, I just want to hang out with you right now. So I'm going to pause because the thesis really intimidated me because I was sort of in this internal, like, struggle with writing in general and just feeling kind of like, it just freaked me out. Writing, I mean, I just felt super drawn to it. And it was something I loved. But anyway, that's a different part of the story. But and so I took a break and never went back. And then I started to go back because I was like, this is ridiculous. I could have a master's. Like, I pretty much have a master's. And like, so why don't I do this? So I petitioned Vanderbilt to be reinstated, like re-enrolled for the purpose of finishing that. And I got my letter that like, yes, we'll do that for you. I was trying to remember, it's either the day or like the day before, that we found out we were pregnant with twins. So I was like, oh, well, never mind. So I could have like, I guess a different personality type would have just like pedal to the metal, tried to like hurry and get done before the babies. But we just sort of sat and stared in stunned silence until they were born. So we didn't. That's not what I did. Anyway, so yeah.
That's awesome.
I do love school. I love learning. I really have been tempted to do like a distance seminary situation, but I'm told by everyone that I work with that I'm not allowed to do that right now.
Yeah, you seem to have a lot of free time every time.
I do.
Every time
I'm really bored.
Yeah. So what did you do when you? You stopped going to school.
Yeah.
Well, how did you spend your days then?
So I was working. Even when I was in school, I just had a full-time job. So I originally came to Nashville, speaking of Christ Community. I came to Nashville to work at Christ Community Church. Okay. I really just wanted to move. I wanted to move from where I was. I was in the town where I went to college, which was Mobile, Alabama. And so I was still in Alabama, and I wanted to leave. And so I took a job at Christ Community, and then that job didn't pay really, and so so I took another job.
We both had those jobs.
Yeah, and so my dad was like, "I'm sorry, you keep calling this a job, but I don't understand. Like, I don't because I left an actual job, you know, and to take this, you know, air quotes job. Anyway, so I had another job. And so eventually, and it was writing scripts for a music and message on hold company. So like, you know, when you're on hold on the telephone and people talk to you, I wrote those. And then, and also wrote scripts for animatronic characters. Or like, you know, like fancy truck stops in Ohio that have like robots. And anyway, it's a whole thing. So that's what I was doing full time.
I have so many questions about that. Oh, I know.
Let's right past it.
That is. Do you remember maybe a line you put in the mouth of an animatronic?
Well, I mean, they were always trying to sell something. They were either always trying to sell something or be clever, but it was like dad jokes clever. So
those are the best kind of jokes.
I know. And I don't remember anything specific, but they, you know, some of them had accents and like, it'd be like a farmer. And then like, he'd be talking to his cow and the cow would talk. It is that kind of thing.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
It was fun. It was fun. I enjoyed it. It was weird. I didn't talk. I didn't tell people much. Like not many people knew what I was doing at the time, but it's fine. So, what was the question?
So sorry. So
what was I doing? I had a job.
You took a job here. Then
I was in school.
You were writing things
for,
okay.
Yeah. Okay, so I was in school while I had this job, and then I left that job for a job in real estate. Actually, it was when Nashville like lofts and condos were becoming a thing. And,
oh yeah.
You know, and they were just selling out like crazy, and it was this whole boom. So I worked for a real estate agency with like customer care, kind of admin stuff, and would follow people from contract to like when they would buy, which would sometimes take like 2 years because they were building entire buildings. And so that's what I did. And I did that. And we had our first child while I was still doing that. And I went back to work. Like, she was a daycare baby. And then, then I found out, you know, when we were pregnant with twins, and I left and intended to go back and then just didn't because just the math did not work.
Yeah.
Three daycare babies was much more expensive. Three times, in fact, more expensive than one. So anyway, so then I was home. I was home with the boys when they were born. And, so I just kind of had jobs. Never a job that I felt like I enjoyed people, you know, mm-hmm. and I enjoyed taking care of people. And you know, so I enjoyed the people I worked with always more than the jobs I actually did. And so the work I do now is really the first work that I've done that feels like, I can see how I'm kind of made for this, you know? So it's different. Feels different. Yeah.
So when did you start? What was the next thing sort of career-wise, quote unquote?
It was She Reads Truth. Yeah. And which really just kind of happened accidentally. I mean, it's a really life-altering accident. So when the boys, I started writing in earnest when the boys were babies, and it was really just kind of for sanity because I was, I went from being a working mom of one to a stay-at-home mom of three. Mm-hmm. And so I'd never been at home. And so I was at home with two babies and a 2.5-year-old. And it was just, I just lived for David walking back in the door. I just, I loved, I treasure that, those memories, but I'm thankful there are photos because I don't remember much of it. It was just all a blur. You know, it was really just survival. I don't have any quiet children, and they were just all nuts. Like, just the boys were super active. And I mean, from the moment they could walk, which was at like 10 months, which just felt so unfortunate that I had.
It's not fair.
It was just not fair that they walked so early. David's mom used to tell me that he walked at 9 months, and I would be like, oh yeah, that's great. Thinking, there's no way. That is not true. Like a baby, like physics, it just doesn't work. Like a baby can't walk at 9 months. And then when they walked at 10, I just thought, I shouldn't have shook my head at her. Like, it was my fault. I jinxed myself. It's true. Anyway, so I was just writing for sanity. And because I just always felt like I'd always felt like I was a writer. Like, that was something that I wanted to do and was kind of, that was inside me somewhere. Mm. And I just was too afraid to really do it. Like, words on a page forever felt like, why would a person do that? You know, you can't, like, when you write something down, you can't take it back. Like, why would you do that? And so I just, it was just an exercise. And so I say that just because that was the writing that I was doing just personally for myself. I had a blog and it wasn't like a big blog. It was just my blog.
Yeah.
And so that is kind of, I sort of got in this, you know, found this community of Christian women on the internet. A lot of us were blogging at the time. Mm-hmm. This was 2011, 2012.
My wife had one of those. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been
and
dormant for like
we're
going
to have
years,
to get
probably,
her to revive yeah. that. And so anyway, we, so that's what I was doing. And that's how I met, kind of was in the circle that I was in when the She Reads Truth thing sort of happened. And it just happened through a conversation of women saying, I really want to read the Bible. You know, we all felt like we should be reading the Bible every day. That's a thing that you're supposed to do mm-hmm. when you believe the Bible is true and you follow Jesus, like you should be reading the Bible. But, you know, it was most of us were young moms and that feels almost impossible, you know, like quiet time. Because we all, if you grow up in the church in the South, a quiet time is something you're supposed to do, which by its very name is like, oh, it requires quiet. So you're supposed to get up at like 4:30 a.m. and, you know, sit in the in like a comfortable chair and not fall asleep while you pray. And so these are the expectations we have on ourselves. And then when you have young kids, you're like, how do we do that? First of all, there's no quiet in my life anywhere. And anyway, so that's how that community was born. And then the formation of like the business and organization that is She Reads Truth that kind of supports the community and the ministry that is She Reads Truth just was born out of that. So,
but yeah, how did that? So what did that look like?
It's a great question.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so it really did start. It was early. Let's see. That first conversation, we sort of mark it as happening June 1st, 2012. Okay. And so 5 years ago. And it was really hashtags were sort of a new thing, and that was kind of the way that. This community of women found each other. And so it was really just people who didn't know each other in real life, but knew each other on the internet saying, I want to read the Bible more. Hey, me too. Hey, let's read a reading plan on YouVersion together and let's use a hashtag and keep up with each other. Like sort of like talk about it, keep each other accountable, that kind of thing. And so I was like, well, let's use hashtag She Reads Truth. And Rachel, my business partner, my significant other, we call each other, she was one of the handful of people that had that first conversation. I was a person who was eavesdropping on that conversation because that's what you do on Twitter, is eavesdrop. And so so it sort of went from being like four women to kind of 400 women, just really just overnight, just women reading along and saying like, yes. So there was really just this need. There was a desire to read the Bible. There was a need to figure out like, okay, well, how and where do I start? And so it grew from that of just the online kind of Twitter-based conversation became a website where it was like, okay, well, let's just give them a place to land and have a conversation. So it would literally, those early posts would just say day one, and we would be reading something on YouVersion and it would just say day one, and there'd be no content and it would just be comments, just conversation.
Huh.
And then, so a couple of plans, and they did that for a couple of plans, and I was reading along, and then Rachel and I met about a month after that, kind of in when we were doing, you know, reading through those early plans, and because we were going to be at a conference, kind of like a bloggers conference, mm-hmm. sort of together, and we were like, "Oh, we're both from Nashville. Like, we should meet." So we had tacos and met, and I said, "Hey, I've been reading with you with She Reads Truth since day one. If you ever need, like, I do this writing thing kind of for sanity. If you ever need anything, like, I would love to help because I just think this is ministering to me and." You know, I'd love to be of help, and that's how my role and it started, and it just it grew from there. So about a year, fast forward a year to the first anniversary, we asked women who had been reading along to send in videos or like to write a blog post or something, just like, hey, what has this looked like for you? Because it's been really impactful for us. And we feel like there are lots of you out there because we see you and we hear you. So let's mark the first anniversary of just sort of like, you know, being thankful for the way that the Lord has kind of invited us into his word through this community. And so I sat in our bedroom and watched those videos on June 1st, 2013. I think the boys were napping. I don't know what Etta was doing. She was probably making some sort of mischief, but I was just watching these videos and just weeping because I realized that like, oh, like you're doing something, Lord. Like this is not, this is going much deeper and this is much more profound than we had no clue.
Yeah.
So the women who were involved, you know, no one was trying to start anything and they had other stuff, you know, like so sort of just slowly turned back to like, hey, I've got to go back to my real life now. I can't really maintain this. And so it kind of left me and Rachel. And there was a moment later that year where we just looked at each other and said, okay, we either have to really go all in on this and try to make it work, make it kind of sustainable in some way, or we have to stop because it was costing a lot of time, it was costing money, and we weren't really sure what it was, you know? I mean, I think
were you writing your own content?
Yeah, we were writing our own content. Yeah, so I mean, really after just about two or three plans, the girls started just creating their own reading plans and it would just be reading through books of the Bible. And writing content. And then we slowly started doing like devotional responses kind of as a me first, like I'll go first mentality, not a me first mentality, but a go first mentality where it's like, hey, everybody wait till I go. No, not that, but like, hey, I'll go first so that you see that like, you're also free to engage with scripture because, you know, just sort of trying to dismantle this narrative that we all had in our heads that we needed. We couldn't read scripture on our own. I don't know where that comes from, but I think for women, it's especially prevalent where we just feel like, oh, I need either a Bible study to read through. Like I mean, we adore Beth Moore and I love her and consider her a mentor. But, you know, Beth would say, you don't have to have one of my Bible studies to read the Bible. In fact, please don't think that.
Yeah.
Please read the Bible on your own. And so anyway, just trying to sort of, mute those lies in our head that we needed either our pastor or a Bible study leader or a small group or something to read the Bible. So we just were reading through and kind of daring God's word to be true every day. If we open it, okay, well, if I open it today, are you going to meet me there? And he did, and he does, and his, you know, scripture really is living and active, and so it really was radical when this just group of women that was, you know, tens of thousands strong by this point was opening scripture, and we were all just stunned. It was like being surprised day after day, like, oh, still true, you know, still changing my life, and So we were just creating reading plans. And so when you fast forward to it been going on about a year and a half, we were hosting, we had begun creating reading plans and YouVersion was really gracious to host our reading plans on their app.
Oh, wow.
That meant that our reading plans had to fit into their format. And we started realizing that what we were doing was a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought, well, we could do our own app. Is that crazy? Is that crazy to do our own app? And we really felt like, no, it's not crazy. And we really think that's what our community needs. And so we did a Kickstarter campaign early in 2014. And we needed $35,000 to create an iOS app. We were stunned. We were like, what? Why does it cost so much? But it does.
Surprising number.
It does. And so we thought, okay, this is insane. Lord, like this feels risky. Like why would we, first of all, should Bible apps even be a thing? I mean, they are, but it just, when you start to handle God's word yourself in that way.
Yeah, and money gets involved.
And money is involved. It just, you know, David, he counseled me so much through this because he had gone through this with so many of his artists. He manages musicians and has for a long time, and many of them, especially early on in his career, in the Christian music industry. And just that, like, wait, Jesus and money. Okay, like, how do we do this? Can we do this? Is this okay? And so I really relied on him to kind of walk me through that. And anyway, so we had no idea. I mean, we knew women were reading, but we didn't know if this was something they wanted. And we just trusted the Lord and said, okay, if, you know, shut this down, which he's probably, like, wink, wink, he's probably going to shut it down, that kind of thing. Or, and if this is of you, like, then make it clear. And, mm-hmm. you know, I just feel like the Lord doesn't owe us clarity, but sometimes he's kind enough to give it to us. And so we were sort of asking, like, okay, we really need you to make this clear. So we launched it, and it funded in less than a day.
Oh my goodness.
And we looked at each other and thought, oh shoot. Okay. So,
so we're doing this,
you know, and Kickstarter is that way where it goes from being like this really cool possibility to a mandate. You know, you wake up the next day. And I mean, I had some girlfriends over, Ellie Holcomb, Kelly Kirker, and Annie Downs were at my house that mm-hmm. night. And we were just, because we had a writing group, and which we still have a writing group. We never write together anymore. We just get together. But they happened to be at my house that night. And we were watching what was happening because we'd launched it, you know, that morning, the day before. Yeah, that morning. And we were watching it climb, and they were at my dining room table donating. They were like, it's going to go over. I want to be the one that makes it over. And so they were donating the campaign from my kitchen table. And then we hit the goal, and it was insane. Yeah. So we ended up raising three times our goal, and it was enough to do an iOS app, an iPad app, and an Android app.
And, oh, wow.
And so we, because fortunately someone had done stretch goals that was a new thing on Kickstarter mm-hmm. at the time. And so we were like, oh, we can do that thing that other people do where you just make a new goal and you keep going and you give them more stuff. And so that's what we did. And then as soon as, you know, after just the PTSD of fulfilling the Kickstarter campaign, it was really intense. Kickstarter campaigns were really intense in my limited experience.
I'm having to finish by myself right now.
It is. And so after that, we started to print what we called study books, and still call study books, where it was just sort of like a really beautiful journal for people to use as they read through. And it was sort of similar to the Kickstarter campaign. We're like, we'll do this and we'll print 50. It felt like such a risk because we paid the printer to print 50 of these books. Mm-hmm. And then again, like kind of slid it across the table to the community, and they just gobbled it up. And we're like, oh, wait a minute. What if this is how we sustain all this? Because we never wanted it to cost anyone money to read the Bible. That felt like you should be able to read along with us free. So we wanted, you know, the app, we would charge for the reading plans because the app had to kind of pay for itself because it's mm-hmm. not only expensive to build, it's expensive to maintain. But then we wanted we were sending out, you know, tens of thousands of emails every day where we wanted the reading plan and the devotional to be free. And then also just on the website, it was free. And so this was all costing money. And so it was this light bulb moment of, oh, well, if only a handful of them want a book to kind of journal through and work through scripture in, then we can create those, sell those, and that can fund the ministry that happens on the website and through the emails and stuff. So that's how it started. And now we do 15 reading plans a year, and there's now He Reads Truth. So for each reading plan, we do a book for the he's and a book for the she's, and sometimes a kid's product. Hmm. So we basically create and produce 50 books a year minimum. I'm sorry, 30 books. Oh, I just upped it. 30 books a year, so 15 times
Which
two.
Still sounds 30 books, insane.
30 books a year plus the kid's books. So it ends up being like pushing 40 products that or books that we do. We do other products too. But so, yeah, so it really just... We look back and we're like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
And It was really a case of just sort of chasing after what the Lord was doing, like seeing how he was moving and not wanting to be the ones that put a stop to that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, okay, no, like we're going to just keep doing this. And had no clue that if you looked ahead to 2017 that we would have, you know, a community that's a million strong. I mean, they're literally, you know, like hundreds of thousands of men and women reading their Bibles every day, which is amazing. And so now, I mean, we're definitely not going to be the ones to shut that down. Yeah. Like the Lord's going to have to just really do that. If there's a pivot that needs to happen now, he's going to have to make it clear because, you know, what we're watching is something that I'm just happy to be in the room, you know, mm-hmm. like I'm just happy to watch it and be a part of it. And so we will dare not move until it feels like, you know, really clear that he's saying move. So,
yeah.
So wow. Here we are.
That's so cool. So what's your role? What's your specific role in that? Because now it's an organization.
It is. We have a team of 15, and that doesn't count our writers who are just all over the country who help us create the devotional content. But the team of 15 is who keeps, you know, the ship afloat, like creating the reading plans. We have a content team and a creative team and then a community team. And we do all of our own shipping and fulfillment. So we do all of that out of our Nashville office. And so my role, Rachel Myers and I, we run the organization. And then I also run the content department. So I'm the chief content officer, which is a very official way of just saying I care about all of the words. So the words that are, you know, go out either in print or online, all of it, that's my team. And we're just blessed to have, I feel like we have a fully staffed editorial team for the first time right now, and which is really exciting because they're just so smart. Our team is amazing. Our creative team is absurd. Everything is so beautiful.
It really is.
And yeah, it really, really is. Which, you know, if anything deserves to be beautiful, it's you know, it's scripture because it's the most beautiful story that and so it's yeah, they're amazing. They're ridiculous. So I just somehow get to lead this team who leads this community, and it's just super fun.
Yeah.
It's really, really fun.
I love that.
Yeah.
So are you doing a lot of active writing? Or are you mainly overseeing writers?
It's both. I do a lot of editing and a lot of content creation that isn't writing in the way that I used to write. So I do write, you know, devotionals, books, like that kind of thing. Like that happens. But the thing that I get most, that I really think I enjoy even more than that, is to create the reading plans themselves. Mm-hmm. So when we create a reading plan, we're reading through a book of the Bible, or we're putting together like a topical plan on a biblical sort of topic. Mm-hmm. Or we go through seasons on the church calendar. So we'll begin Advent soon. And so we create reading plans that walk through scripture. And so what we do with our reading plans is if we're reading, like we're going to read the book of Matthew in January. And when we read through the book of Matthew, we divide it up into readings. It'll take us 4 weeks to get through Matthew. But every day we read the book itself, but then we pull in supplementary scripture. Because the whole of scripture really tells one story, and scripture interprets scripture. And so we try to help connect those dots for our readers. So to do that and then put together other tools that we put into these study books that we create. So our study books do not have the devotionals in them. It's the reading plan. So it has the scripture in it. But it also just has other tools to really equip the reader to engage scripture. So we're not really interested in, we want you to have your own experience with scripture, but we want to set you up to succeed and to be informed about like, okay, when was this book written? By whom? Who was the audience? What was going on surrounding the writing of this book? And then also like helping them pull out themes and things to look for, that kind of stuff. So that's what I do. That's one of my roles. And it's, I mean, it's a blast. So it is like being a full-time student.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's
check.
Exactly.
Got my dream.
Amazing.
Being a full-time student. Amazing. Yeah, so at some point in all of that, Rachel and I, our kids are the same age, basically. And so we went from kind of being, like, we were stay-at-home moms who then had this expensive hobby, time-consuming hobby. And then as it sort of morphed into kind of a business, would start to, like, I remember when we rented a single room, mm-hmm. an office that was just a room inside someone else's office. It felt like, okay, this is a really big step. And so anyway, so that sort of marked our kind of, felt like a slow pivot, but it was really quick when I look back. I'm like, oh, it really happened fast, of going from, kind of running this out of our home and then it becoming just a full-fledged business where we kept needing to pull in team members and then we needed a place for them to be. And, yeah. you know, we needed a place for our team to collaborate. And so we've just kind of, you know, now we're all, you know, in our office full time and it's a thing that we do. And so, it started with a Twitter conversation.
That's so
which is
wild.
Kind of insane. Yeah. Yeah.
So what do your kids think of what you do?
You know, they love it. They think it's cool. They like mm-hmm. that I make books. They think that's really cool. It took them a while to really understand, mm-hmm. you know, what it is that I do. And so they think it's cool that there are books that have my name on them. Like that's cool.
That's
which,
pretty cool.
Which the study books don't, but we did some stuff with Lifeway that like, you know, they're like, oh, your name's on a cover. That's cool. And then, you know, the Bible was a really big deal when we did the She Reads Truth Bible. That was like, I felt like they, you know, that was a cue to them when we would walk into like Lifeway and like there's Bibles and my name's inside the cover. They're like, oh, that's, like, way
Mommy
to go,
wrote
Mom.
The Bible.
You should sign those. And I'm like, no, I didn't write that book. I didn't write that book. You know, what's funny is when we did our first Kids Read Truth book and I brought those home, that was a huge connection, a point of connection mm-hmm. for them when they realized that what I was doing, it wasn't just for me or, you know, for grown-ups. Like I brought it home, mm-hmm. they're like, oh, wait, this one's for us? And I'm like, yeah, this one's for
cool.
you. And so I think that really helped them kind of understand what it is that we do. Other than that, they were just like, oh, you read the Bible for a living. And and like, you know, and there we have shirts that say She Reads Truth. That's cool. We sleep in those. So it's because it really is kind of a weird concept to like, well, we read the Bible, but there's a business part of that.
Yeah.
So it's strange. It's a struggle. I mean, I struggled with it, like, you know, figuring out, oh, wait, how? What is this that we're doing?
I think the struggle, like struggling with it, is what keeps it genuine, though.
Yeah.
You know, it's what keeps it from being some sort of gross,
right,
you know, televangelist kind of thing.
Right.
Like, the fact that you have to wrestle with that to be able to be honest about it.
Right.
And I think it informs your decisions and your choices.
And the community played such a role. I mean, so much of what we were doing early on was really just we were participating, first of all. Like, this is something that grew out of something that we needed and we wanted in our life was direction and, you know, how do I open my Bible every day? But then also just kind of listening to them and what they wanted. So, you know, the books and the app and things like that. But also just, you know, there have been times where people have thought of us as their church, and we're like, no, okay. So that was a moment of clarity, like, oh, we are the church with mm-hmm. you, but we are not a church. And so, like, no, you may not send us your tithe. That's not what we're doing here. You know what I mean? Like, so there were things like that that were very clarifying, where we thought, oh, okay, now we see, like, here's what we are and here's what we aren't. And kind of similar to, you know, when just opportunities that would come along, because when a platform is built, so we've Instagram is kind of always, that was one of the primary tools that I think the Lord used to gather these women together.
Yeah.
I mean, first Twitter, but then really kind of dug in on Instagram, and that's where where the community started to form in earnest. And so, you know, when people see, oh, there's a platform building, then they're like, hey, do you want to do this? Or you should do this. And so we learned early on that, like, okay, what are we doing here? So the mission, our mission statement is women in the Word of God every day, and that's it. And so that's all we're doing here. And everything we do has to support that mission, or we wouldn't do it. So for a long time, like traditional publishing, we're like, nope, that's not what we're doing. It was kind of a quick, slow process of, you know, of figuring out what our lane is. Like, we really, really want to stay in our lane. And we learned early on that our lane really is just reading scripture, which unfortunately is kind of radical, even within the church, to just, oh, you mean you literally open your Bible? Yes, we do.
And to faithfully do it, not, I'm going to do it this year. You guys have kept doing it.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, we're coming upon a new year now, and we've been kind of thinking about the community and how, you know, a lot of us in the church with a capital C set out to, I'm going to read the Bible in a year. And that's great. Like, do that. That's awesome. But what if we kind of direct that a little bit differently and say, I'm gonna be in the Bible every day this year. Like, what does that look like? And then suddenly you think, oh, well, I can probably do that. Because it's an intimidating book. It's very large.
It's very large.
And so what if we just say, I'm just gonna open the Bible, and I'm not gonna worry so much about what that looks like, and it being quiet, or it being with, you know, in a particular order or in a particular place or at a specific time of day. It can be all of those things. And that's fantastic. And that works for a lot of people. But for those of us that it doesn't work for, you immediately feel like a failure. You're like, oh, well, I'm not doing it right. And so, I mean, I was 30 before I realized, and She Reads Truth was so formative in my own walk and like, in my own relationship with scripture, that I to realize that I really can do this.
Yeah.
And so it just, when you, I think that realization only comes after the practice of doing it anyway, even though you feel like you're doing it wrong. So, I don't remember what question you asked that got
us to
that point.
No, I don't, but it doesn't matter. well, one of the things that I've loved about what you guys have done is that you could easily make this into a platform about you.
Yeah.
And I've been in conversations with you in different things where you've had to make conscious decisions. This is not my path to being a superstar.
No.
Because you could be a speaker, an author. I mean, you do those things, but you've kept it very, like, you're very, I don't know. Yeah. You're eloquent about it.
So. Well, you know, there was a point when we did say yes to publishing, and so we wrote a book, what we call a book in the industry. No, not at all. That's what we called it, because we were like, we do books all the time, but they're not books that we write. And to be honest, like, we were supposed to write more than one. We're supposed to write another. And we wrote the one and thought, well, that's kind of all we have to say right now, because it really is. I mean, I feel like, you know, we talk about the Lord giving us the gift of clarity, which is a gift because it's not something that that He has to do. But there are a few things that He has made clear to us, and that is that we are just here to invite people to open their Bibles and to equip them to do that. And so I don't have anything else that I feel is important enough to put in a book. You know, like, I just don't have anything else to say right now, because what I want to say is read this book. And so the first book we wrote was really, it was about scripture, but it was about how looking back over our lives. It was sort of like a double memoir, and it was called She Reads Truth. And it was kind of just looking back over our lives and how, you know, Rachel and I, and our lives look very different. And then even in our individual lives, how things change and things that you think are going to be forever aren't.
Yeah.
And you start to learn that as a kid, like, you know, her parents got divorced. And you're like, oh, okay, so that doesn't last forever. Got mm-hmm. it. My home is not necessarily going to last forever. You know, that's the things that she learned. And then, you know, for me, you know, learning that, like, my behavior didn't dictate who God was. It's like, oh, okay. Like, you start to learn that there's everything changes and shifts, even me, even who I am on the inside. Like, that changes and shifts, but God doesn't. And God's word is the same. So it's the same when, you know, when it was the same when it felt like her family crumbled. It was the same when I watched my dad dying. It was the same, you know, now that we're preparing for transitions as a family. It's just like God's word doesn't change. And so that first book was just about that. Mm. And it was really just a book asking people to, you know, inviting people to read the book. And that's, so I just, yeah, I mean, this is this platform, which that word, you know, it's such a buzzword now. And there's so much conversation about platform. Especially within the church, like, how do you build it? Should you have it? What do you do with it? What are you allowed to do with it? That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so when people are very clearly coming to a place or a platform because they are drawn to God's word, like, I'm not going to step in front of that.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, which works out really well for me because I do not like to be, I like to be behind the screen, you know, and I don't want to be on a stage. And there are times, you know, now where we feel like to serve the community well, there are times when we do have to, like, they have to know there are humans here.
Yeah.
And that it's somewhere. Not, yeah, like, we're not robots. And so it is, you know, to serve the community well, there is an element of being available to them and being real people in front of them. So we do that. And sometimes that does look like, you know, speaking.
Sure.
Or, you know, it looked like writing that book. And it might look like writing a book at some point in the future, but it really, we just, when you have, we're not Moses, but like we've been studying Exodus and preparing, we're going to read through Exodus for Lent. And watching the way the Lord interacted with Moses in Exodus and how, like, you know, Moses is like, I want to see your face. And he's like, I get it, but you can't. If you see my face, you'll die. So here's what we'll do. You're going to hide behind this rock. I'm going to walk past you, and you can see the back of me. That's what we can do here. And so it feels like we have been, in a lot of ways, with She Reads Truth, we've been kind of brought onto this mountain. Again, not saying we're Moses. This is not what's happening. But just the analogy at hand right now is that we've been, like, kind of brought up on this mountain that not everyone gets to ascend. And we've gotten to be really close and watch what God is doing up close. Like, in our inboxes, people say, I'm reading scripture and this is happening. Like, you know, I walked away from I was supposed to get married in a month and I didn't because I just have been in God's word and I just knew that was not. And, you know, there are, like, God's doing things through his word. It is living and active, and it's a sword, you know, and, like, some of the stuff he does is painful. And so it's a very vulnerable place to be. And it's a very, to see, it feels like we get to see God's glory up close right now. And it may not always be that way. We may not always get to see that in it. And I think we are just are increasingly aware of what holy ground that is, and that we have to tread very, very carefully. Mm-hmm. And so we have, you know, pastors and people that we're in regular counsel with to just, and we have from early on.
Yeah.
You know, like, from just even from the days of, I think we were supposed to do an app. Is that okay? Sitting across from our pastor is like, is that okay? Mm-hmm. I think we're supposed to do a Bible. That feels weird. Like that, you know, those kind of moments where you're like, is that okay? And so, yeah, so it's been, it's just so clearly not about us that it almost, it's very freeing. It's just very freeing to go like, oh, this is not. This is not about Amanda and Rachel. This is not the Amanda and Rachel show. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what it'll look like 5 years from now, but I know what it looks like now. And it's just a lot of kind of just letting God be who he is, which is, you know, in charge, not us. We're not him.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that's just so wonderful. And the truth is, if you had tried to build something,
we couldn't have built
this. If you tried to build this, it would be gross and it wouldn't work.
Oh, and it's not, I mean, you know, spoiler alert, like, we are not as smart as it sometimes looks like. People are like, guys, this is amazing what you've done. And we're like, when people said to me, like, we use the phrase, like, it's a God thing or whatever, like, 10 years ago, I would straight roll my eyes and be like, I don't even know what that means. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. But I don't have the language to describe what She Reads Truth is and how this happened. It was not our idea. No one was like, hey, we should build a community and a platform where people should read the Bible. Like, that is not what happened. And even now, you know, like, we have, our team is super smart and capable. But at the end of the day, we're still just following God's lead here. And we are very aware that if he, you know, if, this can go away tomorrow, but God's word will not. And so it's very sobering, but it's also very motivating to just, like, this is the thing we're here to do, is we're here to hold up scripture and invite you to it. And other people are, you know, have gifts of teaching and you know, those kind of things, like, where they're helping you, you know, like pastors, for example, they are called to pastor. We're not called to pastor. Like, we are just called to invite people to read the Bible. And so, So that's what we'll do until he shuts it down.
That's awesome.
or tells us to get out of the way and let somebody else sit in these chairs for a while. Because it feels like, that's how it feels. It feels like anyone can sit in these chairs. Like, I see the way, it's not to belittle the way that he's prepared us and gifted us and our team, but it's just, you know, there's a knowledge there of who steers the ship.
Love that.
Which looks like a lot of weird business decisions sometimes when you, like, you know, I'm going to do something that doesn't make any sense, but this is what feels like is right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
How old were you when you started this?
So that's a great question. So I was 34, 35, 39 now.
Cool.
And it's been about 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That really is awesome.
Yeah. And so it's not just, and it's been kind of a whole family pivot.
I mean,
that's a great word for it, because, you know, David's been, he's had his company for, I mean, a really long time, longer than I've known him. And so when She Reads Truth started to happen and kind of turn into an organization and a business, we had to have a huge pivot at home where, like, we sort of flip-flopped and was like, okay, this is a whole family calling. And so he just, you know, and he just super supportive. He started working less. I started working more, that kind of thing. So it's been, that's just, it's not what we expected, you know, it's just not what we thought, was ahead. So, but it's been a gift.
That's awesome. So if people are listening to this and checked out She Reads Truth,
might have been a helpful context. I could have told them what
No, it's great. I mean, how could people get involved? I want to hear about those. I didn't know you guys had made those children's books. We need to get those.
Yeah, it's so Kids Read Truth is, She Reads Truth was first and is still, like, by far the largest and most active community of kind of the family of brands. But He Reads Truth grew out of that. We really are just an online community of a worldwide community now of just men and women who read the Bible every day. So at She Reads Truth, you can read along. We do reading plans. Some of them are 2 weeks long. Some of them are 5 weeks long. Like, it just, we just read. Either through books of the Bible, or we'll do like a collection of Psalms. We're going to read the parables of Jesus soon. That might be what we're doing when this airs. But So there's the website where you can just show up and there are other people reading the Bible. So basically the concept is, I want to read the Bible. I don't know where to start. You just show up there and we're with you and we're reading. We're always reading something every day. Mm. So on shereadstruth.com, there's like the scripture reading is always at the top and it'll be a series of, you know, passages from the Bible. So that's the main thing. There's also a devotional sort of response, which is just our writers kind of going first and engaging scripture in front of you, you know, and saying like, this is how I'm engaging this passage. And so there's shereadstruth.com. There's the She Reads Truth app where it's the same kind of model, but in like a nicely packaged form. Completely rebuilding the app and be releasing it soon. So maybe by the time this goes out.
Awesome.
So it makes it easy where you can just, it's really beautiful. You just swipe from the scripture to the devotional and to the comments and the conversation. There's shareable graphics, lock screens, things like that. And then we have the books, which are just an optional way to, if you want like a tangible way to go through the reading plan. So either an analog way, like I want to just do this on my own, or if you have a group, it's sometimes nice to have something, you know, to work through as a group. And then social media, a lot of people just follow along there and we'll just click straight through. So we have an Instagram community that's super gracious and loving. It's one of the most gracious communities on the internet, which I sometimes hesitate to say out loud because I feel like it's gonna something's gonna happen. But
because it's like anything big on the internet has trolls,
But you know, the comments and conversation section is really women just asking really honest questions and praying for each other, and you know, and they don't all believe the same thing. Like these are not that we're not a affiliated with any denomination. We believe the Apostles' Creed is kind of our thing, you know, like we just, we've just the Christian, like foundational, beliefs. And then, so there are women from all different walks and denominations there. But they're just so gracious with each other and they're really there to point to the scripture and just help each other engage. So anyway, so that's what we do. He Reads Truth grew out of that where the guys were like, it really grew out of guys reading She Reads Truth. And we're like, oh, hey guys, like maybe we'll do something for you one day. So we did.
Yeah.
And so they have their own site, hereadstruth.com, their own app, their own writers, that kind of thing.
Lots of wood and steel.
Yes. Very manly. We've upped our game on the He Reads Truth books for 2018. And so the Advent book for this year is sort of the first in the new format. And it's full color. It's more, the guys were like, why do the girls get recipes in their book? I want a recipe. So things like that. Like they have a hymn. I want a hymn. So the guys' books are going to be super cool for this new year. So we're excited about that.
Come with beard oil or something like that. Yeah.
And then Kids Read Truth, you know, we started to realize like what happens. So the reading plans are always in tandem with each other. So, you know, if like you and Allison wanted to read together, you know, she could be reading She Reads Truth and you could be reading He Reads Truth and you would have your own like individual experience with the scripture. But then, it's the same scripture. So you sit down at dinner and you're like, hey, what did you think about this or whatever? So it's sort of an instant kind of conversation starter or connection piece.
That's really cool.
And then we started realizing like, wait, if you know, in a family setting, if mom and dad are reading this, or if even just mom or just dad is reading this, like, wouldn't it be cool if there was a kid's product and a way for them to engage? And so then you're really gathering the whole family around scripture, it feels like just the most challenging thing to do. Like, how do we do that as parents? Like, how do I read scripture? And then I want to invite my kids to read scripture. Well, does that mean that they're part of my air quote quiet time? Like how do we do this? And so, so this is a way for families to do this. And so we don't do a kids product with every reading plan, but, and all the kids products are not the same, but we just sort of look at the reading plan and think, what, as parents, how would we want our kids to engage, or what is it that we think? So when, so for the Romans plan this past summer, we did a kids read Romans book, and it would pull a verse of scripture from the adult reading plan that day, and then give them a way to engage with it. Maybe like giving them the scripture, and then like giving them a crossword or a coloring page or whatever. And we did like the Romans Road on the weekends, where they would learn just using verses from Romans, just using learning what salvation is and what sin is. And so anyway, so we've done cards. So for Advent, we have a couple of things. We have these table cards that that you use one for each day, and they're really just designed to kind of like sit on the dining room table. And when you gather around for dinner that night, you can read a scripture together. There's an illustration, and then there are questions, and they're kind of tiered so that there's like one for younger kids that kind of just, you know, might be like Jesus, God, or something might be the answer, or it might be like, hey, like get up and do a dance, because it talks about like celebrating, like something like that. And then kind of a more substantive question for kids that are a little bit older, and then an open-ended question for like the teenagers and the adults and for everybody to kind of gather around, like, okay, like what does this mean? Like, if this is true about Jesus, what does this mean for us? That kind of thing. So that's, we've did that, done that for Advent. We did, when we were reading Isaiah earlier this year, we did a matching set, and it was Isaiah's prophecies fulfilled in Jesus. And so it would be matching when God says, I will do this, or this, you know, I will with I did. So saying like, wow, he will be, you know, like just predicting like Jesus' life and death and resurrection, and then like the New Testament scriptures where that happened. And so a way for them to, so, you know, little kids can engage and just do matching the illustrations, and then older kids can engage by kind of cheating and matching the actual, like what's happening and the words and the, anyway,
that's
so
really
it's
thoughtful. That's really cool.
It's really cool. So our goal for the kids, it's not kids in the Word of God every day, because like that just doesn't feel like that's just not the call here. But it is to equip them with biblical literacy and instill in them a love for God's Word. So there is, you know, definitely not just kids, but within the church, there seems to be like a scripture famine. Like we're starving ourselves. We've got God's word and we're not reading. And I mean, the statistics are really depressing. I would quote them for you, but I don't have them memorized. But like, it's just not, it's something that is foreign to more and more believers to actually read the Bible. So, so biblical literacy is just kind of the drum that we beat. Like, guys, the more you read this book, the more it starts to, the dots start to connect, and you start to realize the grandness of God's story and of the story that we are in. Like, we're in it right now. And God's, you know, the picture of God's faithfulness through generations and throughout time. And it's crazy. It's crazy when you start to read, when you start to really read in earnest, and you start to, it never stops. That we can't plumb the depths of it. Like, we're trying, we're actively trying right now, and it just keeps going. So
that's wonderful.
That's what we do. So yeah, y'all, come on.
Yeah.
Everything. So the shereadstruth.com, hereadstruth.com, the resources that we have available are all available at Shop She Reads Truth. And it's just super fun. And as my friend Russ Ramsey says, it's good work if you can get it.
Love it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Oh, gosh. Thanks for having me.
Oh, that was so good. Amanda, you are awesome. Thank you for your time. If you guys want to find more about her or follow her on Twitter, Instagram, she's at Bible Williams and all that stuff. You can find She Reads Truth anywhere, because it's all over, but shereadstruth.com, hereadstruth.com, kidsreadtruth.com. It's easy to find. You can also, as always, find more about The Pivot at everybodypivots.com. It's where you can say, hey, support our Patreon, and see some of the things we've got coming up for next year, and I'm really excited about that. I'll also have some new music coming out very soon, like really, really soon. And I'm thrilled. So stay tuned to at Andrew Osinga on Twitter or Instagram or whatever, and find out what's going to happen. We're at the stage now where we're just making plans and lots of photo and video and editing and things as we get ready to put this music out. And the idea is that you'll be able to get the music quickly, but then we can keep telling the story about the songs over the course of the new year. So really so excited about that. Thank you guys for all your support on that. There's also going to be a little house show tour that's going to happen. And yeah, it's going to be really fun. So thank you guys so much. That's it for us today. Amanda, you're awesome. Please check out our sponsors again. That's Blind Tiger Record Club, the National Worship Leader Conference, New College Franklin. And we look forward to seeing you on the next podcast. So stay tuned. Now go do something awesome.